Father, as we come and have a look at the nature of church and what church is about and what a healthy church looks like, Father, we just pray that your word will flood us. Father, we pray that we might have great understanding of what it means to meet together. Father, we just pray that your word will speak boldly and clearly to us as it does, and that we might be bold and understand what your word is saying. Amen. You may remember John Chapman. I don't know whether you do. Certainly in my neck of the woods, John Chapman was a well-known name. He was the looked after the Department of Evangelism in Sydney for the Anglican Church for many years. And John was a very effervescent, outgoing, sort of Aussie type of character. He went to be with the Lord in November 2012. He once commented that Australians are very hard to reach with the gospel because life here is so good, you know, that we seem to have everything that we need. So Australians don't see a need for anything else, particularly something else spiritually. And he wrote a few books about the gospel and how Australians, you know, within our unique setting, how we can share the gospel with others. And probably his most well-known book was No One Tell the Gospel. And some of you may even have that book on your shelf. As Chapo got older, I remember him painting a picture of his week. Monday, the GP. Tuesday, the chemist. Wednesday, the specialist. Thursday was the teeth and feet day. And Friday was a rest day. Well, not exactly his words, but that's the gist of what he was saying. I had a good friend of mine remind me that I'm getting a little older, which I took great offence to, of course. No one. If you want to say that to me, don't expect we'll be friends for too long. And I need to get a checkup. And you'll see a slide there. So I went to the doctors, and he gave me the once-over. I ended up having a bone scan, blood tests. I was prodded and poked and jabbed and asked lots of questions, some of which were extremely personal. I was referred to a skin specialist. I was told that I shouldn't eat seafood, you know, like prawns and lobster and all that anymore. Not that I ever ate lobster, but I was a bit of a prawns fan and allergies and things, right? It wasn't a particularly enjoyable exercise, you know, standing there in the doctors for so long, having all this happen to you, but I knew it was important, you know, to have that health check. And I guess we all need health checks from time to time, and perhaps, you know, I think probably most of us here have gone along and had one. I'm about due for my next overhaul now, and I really can't talk myself into making the phone call to get it all organised. Well, anyway, churches are like people because churches are people. Churches can live and churches can die. Churches can laugh and churches can cry. Churches have personalities, and some things they can do very well and some things they don't do so well. Churches can get sick and they can be led back to full health. So the question I'd like to ask this morning is, what does a healthy church look like? What does a healthy church look like? I'd like to answer that question in two parts. First, you know, let's have a look at this word church and make a few comments about it. Then secondly, we'll stick the adjective there, healthy, and look at what a healthy church looks like. And so we want to answer the question, what does a healthy church look like? Let's look then at the nature of church. There are many definitions of church and many thoughts on what a church might be. And boy, have I had those definitions thrown at me over the years. Mark, church should be this, or Mark, church should be that, or why are you doing this, and why isn't church doing that, and why aren't we heading that direction? And someone else comes up to me and says, we should be heading that direction, and this other person says, we should be heading that direction, and really they're contrary direction. What's happening? What's going on? Some people gladly acknowledge that that church should be a place of worship, or more like a club where people learn good manners, or it's a place for, you know, preserving ancient traditions. That's a good one, isn't it? People come to church full of different expectations. Now, the word church in the New Testament is a funny word. It's called ecclesia. Now, I'll tell you that because our English word is ecclesiastical. Yeah, so we get our ecclesiastical, our church traditions. And church simply refers to the gathering of people. And for us, right, church has the technical meaning of the gathering of God's people, of course. We have a church when God's people come together and worship in the manner that he has prescribed. The church's foundation is Christ's work, and Christ's work continues in the church. The church arises and it lives because there is a gospel which guides us and directs us. The risen Lord Jesus is the head of our church, and we come together in his name. So it's really quite simple, this nature of church. But there's a problem. In the movie Sister Act, and you've probably seen Sister Act 1, 2, 3 and 1,000, I don't know how many there is. In the movie Sister Act, it's the world that rescues the church from irrelevance. Of all people, it's a lively and morally loose Dolores, right, who infiltrates and releases the church from bondage. And interestingly, and if you've seen the movies, you'll know what I mean, the church comes with it, the change comes into the church through music. So she's a musician, right? She changes the choir, she starts with the music, right? The whole thing turns around because of the music. So you might like to ponder that, the power of music and the effect of music on what we do. But the world is saying to the church, keep up with the times or you risk irrelevance, or even worse, death. So please don't talk about the things that we don't like hearing. What are they? Well, sin, death, hell, and judgment. They're particularly unpalatable in our world. Who wants to hear these things? And who certainly wake up on a Sunday morning to come along to church to hear about those things? You know, and sin, death, hell, and judgment cause people to cough and splut. It's the nature of things. We're told that the church needs to rediscover itself. Maybe the church needs to become like a view club for religious people. Run nice events for the community. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's all they do, church is like an Oxfam for religious people. You know, some churches run coffee shops and deliver meals to needy people. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's all they do, they're like a Meals on Wheels for religious people. Some churches specialise in counselling and psychological needs. Nothing wrong with that, but if that's all they do, they're like a support group for religious people. Some churches are very vocal in the public square. They comment on big social issues like marriage and homosexuality, but they've lost sight of the gospel and they fragment the Christian voice. See, while the world wants to recast the Christian church, at the same time, though, many Christians have a growing disinterest in church. Unfortunately. Now, it's true that we're not saved by putting our trust in the church, but by putting our trust in the saving work of the Lord Jesus. But our union with Christ implies church. Our faith in Christ joins us to the multitudes who also have faith in Christ. And so we are irreversibly bound to one another through our union in Christ. Yet I hear more and more people these days saying that they can be a Christian without attending church. That church is all too hard, that it imposes unnecessary and intrusive obligations, that it's just a pain. That the church, well, all they really want is my money, isn't it? And increasingly there is a sense that church is a service provider because everything else in the world is a service provider. There's a consumer-driven mentality because we live in a consumer-driven world. We live in a world full of religious symbols that urge us to spend our way to happiness. Symbols such as, well, you know them, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Google, all remind us of our secular religious obligations. It's the economy that binds us together in perfect harmony. See, the nature of church. And then the problem of church. And now the vitality of church. The 3rd century bishop Cyprian of Carthage is reported as saying, no one could have God for his father who hasn't the church for his mother. Interesting. No one can have God for his father who hasn't the church for his mother. Now these days many people would struggle to accept that view, and it shouldn't be this way. More recently, John Stott said, the church lies at the very centre of the eternal purpose of God. It is not a divine afterthought. It is not an accident of history, this church that we come to and participate in regularly. The church, friends, should be important to us because of its importance to Christ. Christ founded the church in Matthew 16:18. He purchased it with his blood in Acts 20:28.
and he intimately identifies himself with it in Acts 9:4. The church is the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. The church is the dwelling place of God's Spirit in 1 Corinthians 3. The church is the chief instrument for glorifying God in this world in Ephesians 3:10. The church is God's instrument for bringing the gospel to the nations and a great host of redeemed humanity to himself in Revelation 5:9. The church is Christ's church. So you see, we need to get church right. The comedian Lenny Bruce said, "Every day people are straying away from the church and going back to God." Every day people are straying away from church and going back to God. I wonder if deep down that's your sentiment. You know, you put up with church. Church causes you more pain than happiness. For you, church is a place of conflict. You know, church cuts across my Sundays. Church is a financial stress, and who needs that? We need to get church right. We need to get it right. So what does a healthy church look like? You know that three mornings, usually on a Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, I get myself up, put on my running gear, and I run about a kilometre up to the end of the cul-de-sac and back. I'm mad, aren't I? Absolutely crazy. But you know what? The more I do it, sort of, the easier it's becoming, I think. I'm not sure about that. And I think the fitter you get, the sort of the harder you press, you know, and then the harder you press, the tighter you become, and it's sort of this horrible loop of exhaustion, right? And I'm running by someone sort of walking their dog, and they say, "How are you?" I go, "Oh, I'm all right." You know, it's about to collapse. You know, it's a real mess, right? And then, but see, the benefit of that is when I get up and run around on a soccer field on a Saturday, I'm feeling really good. You know, I can do the hard yards. I'm glad I've, you know, gone through the pain during the week. You know, it's a wonderful feeling. I've actually had some people email in and say, "You know, Mark, you refereed well." Well, that blew me away. Friends, the Bible was written for people like us. It was written to churches struggling with spiritual vitality. The Corinthians had their problems. The Ephesians started strong, and they faded away. Timothy and Titus needed advice on leading churches that were testing them. So what does a healthy church look like? Well, if I were to summarize it, and I thought about this a lot, you know, how can you sum up what a healthy church looks like in a little sort of catchphrase? And I really sort of scratched my head about this during the week, which accounts for that sort of worn part down that side of my head. And I came across one book. One book came across my desk, right, and we'll see it there on the slide, that I think summarises what a healthy church looks like. And it's this book by Mark Dever, The Church, but it's its subtitle, right, that the church is the gospel made visible. Right, the church is the gospel made visible. Healthy churches make the gospel visible because they make the rule of the Lord Jesus visible. The church is the visible icon of the gospel in this world. That we are a tangible, in all our frailties, that we are a tangible expression of God's grace in this world. In his book, Mark Dever gives a precise definition of a healthy church. So there's the catchphrase, right? Here's just the slight expansion. You'll see that on the next slide. A healthy church is a congregation that increasingly reflects God's character as his character has been revealed in his word. So the nutshell is the church, the gospel made visible. And here's a slight expansion on it. A healthy church is a congregation that increasingly reflects God's character as his character has been revealed in his word. You see, a healthy church has more than information, right? Being a Christian is just not intellectually knowing, right? It may know that there's only one name under heaven and earth that people are saved. We may know that there is only one Lord who rules over all. We might know these things. But a healthy church does something with that information. It's a congregation that increasingly reflects God's character as his character has been revealed in his word. See, the buildings are only important insofar as they allow us to come together and grow in holiness as we share our faith. I wouldn't care if you met under the tree out across the road in the park there. It might be a bit cold in winter, and you might have ice crisp, so we meet in a building. But it doesn't matter if we meet under a tree like we did in Uganda one time, or in the Solomon Islands, or in a house, or in a building, or in a school, or even in a traditional stone church. That's not the issue. The issue is whether or not we are increasingly reflecting God's character, which we see in Jesus Christ, and it is instilled in us by his Spirit. And so Christian churches organize themselves in such a way that this happens. So what do we need to do to allow this to happen? Or what are the characteristics or the marks of a healthy church? See, if I was talking about my good physical health or your good physical health, in what way would I describe that? Well, someone who is physically healthy has a balanced diet, living on chocolate like my boys and do chocolate and pizza up. It's not really a balanced diet. Right? Exercising, makes you healthy. Getting enough sleep makes you healthy. And all these other things that we do, all these habits that we should form, we do those things to prolong life, to make us healthy, not just get length of life, hopefully, but quality of life as well. So what about the church body? What information do we need to describe a healthy church? Well, the information we get, right, is called theology. And once we have the right theology, the right information about God, then we can exercise this theology, this information, the right way. And we must put our theology into practice so we reflect the character of God as revealed in his word. So what are the essential marks of a healthy church? Well, look, that's another six sermons. Right? You go to Bible college and you spend a few years learning that, right? So let me try and bring it down just into two broad, big categories. Right, what should happen in church so its people increasingly reflect God's character? Well, the first thing there is what I've called expositional preaching. Sounds a bit technical, I know, right? Expository preaching. Expository preaching is the kind of preaching that simply exposes, brings to the surface, right, God's word. It's a preaching that preaches Jesus as a fulfillment of Scripture. And I just don't mean from the pulpit, right, from here now. Right? I mean in our Bible study groups, in our small groups, when we're talking to one another, right, whenever we're talking about the Bible, right, we want to expose and bring to the surface, right, God's word and what it means. Jesus was speaking to men on the road to Emmaus, and Luke tells us this. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Right, so good biblical exposing of the scriptures, right, will look at the scriptures in the light of Jesus, and scriptures will be interpreted in the light that Jesus is King. Right, a healthy church wants God's word to be open and accessible. Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Friends, do you come to church craving to hear the words of eternal life? Right? You're not going to hear them from me. Let me tell you that. Right? You just got a crusty old guy up here speaking to you. Right? Where you're going to get the words of eternal life is when you open God's word and read God's word. We do it publicly here. We do it in our home groups. And I hope you're doing it privately because you need to. A healthy church wants to hear God's words and to be led into the text with careful consideration of context and content. We need to read the Bible properly. A healthy church wants the implications teased out. It wants to hear what God is saying through the vehicle of the preacher. You know, whether that be the minister, the small group leader, the kids' church leader out there, or another member opening up the scriptures. Expository, exposing preaching is the mark, an essential mark of a healthy church. And then there's expositional living, I've called it that. A healthy church is a church where members expose themselves to life in the kingdom. Right? Expose yourself to life in the kingdom. It's a church where the fruit of the Spirit matters. Right? It's a church that just doesn't rest with information and theology and being able to say big words, right? It's a church that takes the scriptures and allows God through the scriptures into, and the scriptures take us into relationship with God. So we live as people, as God's people in God's kingdom. It's a church where the fruit of the Spirit matters, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law, but those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. That's a healthy church. That's a healthy church. Friends, a healthy church is a praying church. A healthy church longs to know the gospel more deeply. A healthy church is one where people can share their gifts for the sake of the body of Christ. It's a church where tongues are controlled for the sake of the body of Christ. When a church is healthy, its members know and cherish the gospel above everything else. Friends, what's your great passion in life? What is it that drives you? When you wake up each morning, what is it that gets you going? You know, what is it that, you know, what's deep down? You know, what lies in the core of your being? You know, where does your heart lie? You know, where are you going? What do you want out of life? What are you doing? A healthy church follows the Lord Jesus, demonstrates the fruits of the Spirit, prays, longs to know the gospel more deeply, shares gifts for the sake of the body of Christ. And friends, as we know from the book of James, a healthy church has people with controlled tongues. George Truett was a great Christian leader of the past generation, and he said this: "The supreme indictment that you can bring against a church is that such a church lacks in passion and compassion for human souls. A church is nothing better than an ethical club if its sympathies for lost souls do not overflow, and if it does not go out to seek to point lost souls to the knowledge of Jesus Christ." Evangelism is not something we do simply by inviting people to church, although it may include that. Each of us has tremendous news of salvation in Christ. Each of us has a personal testimony. A healthy church knows the gospel, and a healthy church shares the gospel. So let me encourage you then, right, to take a personal health check. What condition is your Christian life in? What's your understanding of the gospel? Are you increasingly reflecting God's character? I want you to know that you can bring your frailties and your struggles and your pain to the God who loves you. God loves his children. He knows that living a Christian life is not easy, and it's not. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. And come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Are you weary and burdened? Well, we started with John Chapman, so let me end with him as well. And let me end with a story that Chapo told. And he says, "I remember the day that I picked up two hitchhikers, one in the morning and one later in the day. And I got into a friendly and enjoyable conversation with both, and I was able to share the gospel with one. With the other, it did not seem appropriate to do so within any of the things we discussed. But I was willing to share the gospel with both. I prayed for both men as they got in and during the conversation. With one, it seemed the most natural thing to do. With the other, every time I vaguely moved towards saying anything Christian, the conversation took a different turn. Can I trust the sovereign God in both situations? I can, and in both cases I did. Rejoicing that both opportunities had come my way, I committed both situations to God in prayer. I sought to be obedient to God on both occasions, and I had treated both men like persons and not things." Healthy churches are healthy Christian people who know the gospel who live in the light of the gospel and who share the gospel with the world. Well, let's pray, and then you might have a question or a comment or two. Father, we thank you that church is your invention, that church is the gathering of your people. Father, help us to treasure church and to see church as precious, and Father, to see church as the gathering of those who are saved and who are heading somewhere. Father, we want to be healthy people individually, and we want to be a healthy church. And Father, like any situation, health needs to be worked at. Father, help us to show the fruits of the Spirit, to live as people in whom the Spirit is working. And Father, we thank you that your church has the Lord Jesus as the head, that he is our Lord, he is our Saviour, and in him we trust. Amen.